It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets finally beat the Braves, and it was about Juan Soto last night. Also had Ronnie Mauricio having a great offensive night. The Jeff McNeil catch, which was great. The Yankees break out as well. Aaron Judge with a big double. So you had Jazz Chisholm with a home run, who, by the way, we were talking about Trevino, who is now on the Reds. So I saw this whole thing, and this was interesting to me. And I think they have a pretty decent relationship, Trevino and Jazz Chisholm. Then they were kind of just busting chops back and forth. So if you go back to when Chisholm got ejected, you watch the interaction between the umpire and Chisholm. But what you didn't see initially was Trevino egging on the umpire, going, "Hey, he's still talking to you out there. He's still talking to you."
I love it.
So then the umpire looks over at Chisholm, and that's when Chisholm goes, "Why are you looking at me?" Well, the reason why I was looking at him is because Trevino told him to go look at him because he said he was still mouthing off, and the umpire didn't hear it. So then Chisholm ends up hitting the home run last night. He goes around Trevino, touches home plate, goes around Trevino and says something to him that Trevino snapped his head to the side really, really quick. Basically like, "Go stick it. Go stick it. I win. You can go screw." But things like that are fun as long as they don't get completely out of control.
You know, one thing you pointed out yesterday morning, got to give you credit for this one. You were talking about who was pitching for the Braves last night.
Well, yeah, I mean.
And who was pitching for the Braves last night got lit up.
Yep. Didier.
Fuentes.
Didier Fuentes. And you had Clay Holmes. Well, it was the first. I mean, what stood out, obviously, is the second major league start. And, you know, it was the most favorable pitching matchup the Mets have had, I feel like, in 2 weeks.
Right. And it was about time that they broke through.
Yeah.
Now they got to break through again. And then they just got to keep it going. I mean, both of these teams, both the Yankees and the Mets, at least the East, the Yankees have a get right series coming up.
Yeah, get right spot for sure. And tonight with the, let's see, it's Grant Holmes, as we talked about, for the Braves and Griffin Canning.
And then after that, the Mets go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, which should be, I mean, hopefully they'll be continuing to be right if they win.
I wonder if they'll see Paul Skeens there.
Skeens. Pitching?
Does not look like it.
All right. So that means that's a sweep. You got to sweep him. Got no choice but to sweep him.
Yeah, he just pitched yesterday.
Yeah, so no way.
And he lost that other great pitcher, young kid.
He lost two.
There's some great young pitchers out there. I mean, that they're all throwing like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, nobody's like Skeens. That guy's insane. Yeah, Mizorowski you're talking about?
Mizorowski, man.
Mizorowski.
He misfired 19 triple digit sizzlers.
You sound like BT.
Right, I know.
Triple digit sizzlers.
Yeah, that's how I did it. Yeah. And 99.5 miles per hour on his fastball.
Is this a sports minute?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I saw it because.
You
it was,
said sizzler?
Yeah, I did say sizzler. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Three triple digit sizzlers. From Mizorowski.
No, not three. Not three, 18.
Oh, 18. I heard you said three the first time. 18 triple
19.
Digit? 19. 19 triple digit sizzlers?
Yeah.
Could have sworn you said three.
No, I said 19.
No, you didn't. Definitely said three.
Oh, whatever. Well, it's 19.
And Skeens, what about his triple digit sizzlers?
Maybe he had three. I don't know.
And then Mizorowski had the 19. Yeah, triple.
Skeens only averaged 98.5 on his heater.
Oh, that's it?
Yep.
Are there any sizzlers still around, by the way? I don't think I'd eaten at a sizzler. Yeah, there are still sizzlers.
Still giving away peanuts?
Is that what they did there?
Yeah. You have to go to Sizzler, you go into the bar, you have a couple beers, free peanuts. They were in big those oak barrels.
Wow. There still are sizzlers, but nowhere around here.
Yeah, there used to be one in Bay Shore right there on Main Street.
So there are.
Maybe that was Islip.
Islip, by the way, has done a wonderful job of putting some great restaurants around their Main Street, some new places. Awesome. All right, so there's Sizzlers in Oregon.
Figures.
Sizzlers in California.
Figures.
Sizzlers in Utah, Idaho. And for some reason, there are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Sizzlers in Puerto Rico. That's an interesting one.
Well, I'm sure that's a franchisee that owns that area.
Like, I'm going to open Sizzlers in Puerto Rico. Yeah, okay, Dave, sure.
I'm thinking you and I can open some Wayback Burgers down there in Puerto Rico.
In Puerto Rico? I don't know. If they like their Sizzlers, I don't know. They're going to like their Wayback Burgers?
How about Dave's Hot Chicken?
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know. You really want to start franchising places like that? I mean, yeah. And then there's got to be, what was the other one? Long John Silver's. Are there any Long John Silver's left? How about those?
That I don't know. I stopped at Wetson's last week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's still Long John Silver's. I think we did this not that long ago. They were Long John Silver's, and they're around. They are around. It's amazing, these places. Like, there was a Long John Silver's on the Sunrise Highway service road over there in like Patchogue back in the day, and I would always pass it, and I was like, I can't. Can't go to Long John Silver's.
How about an Arthur Treacher's?
See, that's before me, too.
Arthur Fish and Chips.
Arthur Treacher's? I didn't know that one.
There was one on Herrick's Road in Mineola. Maybe New Hyde Park.
It's a defunct. Arthur Treacher's is a defunct American fast food seafood restaurant chain. At its peak in the late 1970s, it had 826 locations.
Fish and Chips, Biggs.
Fish and Chips.
Yes.
Founded in 1969, the last location closed in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, in the year 2021. That was a good run there for Arthur. Very good run. And then there's one more fish place I'm not thinking of. Red Lobster.
Well, there's Red Lobster, but there's also Chicken Delight. Don't cook tonight. Order Chicken Delight.
Was that a fast food place?
It was, and they used to deliver.
Really?
Chicken Delight.
It's food. It's just a company. No, here we go. No, you know what? There's a Chicken Delight in Westbury still.
There is.
Yeah. Jersey City. Chicken Delight's all over the place.
I wonder if it's the original Chicken Delight.
I mean, was it a chicken holding a bucket? Was that there?
It looks like
a rooster holding a bucket of chicken.
I think so. There used to be one in either Islip or Bayshore next to the China Sun, maybe.
Do you remember a Mary Brown's chicken?
I do not.
Oh, it's because it's Canadian. That's why. No. I just said people also search for this Mary Brown's chicken. Yeah. I got Wendy's the other day. Awesome.
Yep.
That chocolate frosty.
Mm-hmm.
I just licked the top of it. The first one's just a lick.
You took the kids there because you didn't want to do anything with them, so you took them to Wendy's?
Yes. Well, not didn't want to do anything with them. I didn't want to cook them anything. So I took them to Wendy's.
Okay.
They have their own little kids meal thing. Nice. Get a little toy. Makes them happy. Occasionally. Not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally.
And I know we've talked about Beefsteak Charlie's.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was big in Bayshore.
That's right. Beefsteak Charlie's.
Yep. All you could eat. I mean, all the beer you can drink. And all you could eat for like $5, man. It's like shrimp. Or you name it.
Stuff doesn't happen anymore.
We would get pitchers of beer and or pitchers of sangria.
Oh,
you don't like sangria?
At Beefsteak Charlie's?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're telling me I'm getting sangria from like a high-end Mexican restaurant, fine. But
when you're 17, that is high-end.
But just the pitchers. Oh, sangria, sounds like a
hangover. The shrimp bar and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, let's see. All right. Find a Red Lobster. Do we have Red Lobsters around?
I thought they got sued
for something. For what? For what? What? Deer Park. Yeah, there's a bunch of Red Lobsters.
All right.
Ronkonkoma, Deer Park, Copaig. There were people in Ronkonkoma last night eating at Red Lobster. Think about that.
All right.
Year 2025. That is amazing to me.
Yeah, I'll eat my.
Someone said, do you want to go to Red Lobster? Yeah, let's go to Red Lobster. In June 2025 in Ronkonkoma.
You got to go to Bostwick's to get your lobster.
Bostwick's?
Bostwick's, yes.
Let's go to James on Long Island. What's going on, James?
Well, hey, what's up, guys? You guys are talking about the food. I know I grew up in Bayside in the Flushing area. Boomer, you had to have had Pudgy's before.
Yes.
You mentioned, yeah, that was a great spot. And Chicken Delight was actually my Bayside Little League baseball sponsor. I remember eating that, too. That was a real blast in the past.
There's a Pudgy's still in East Islip.
That place
delivered, too. That was, like, really weird, because we ate there in, like, the 80s. That was, like, a big thing, because only Chinese and pizza places delivered back then.
That's exactly right. They had it well before DoorDash or anybody else, that's for sure.
Yeah, so there's still a Pudgy's on Montauk Highway in East Islip. There's also one in West Islip. I wonder if they have a rivalry like the football teams do, the two Pudgy's in East Islip and West Islip. There's also one in Selden. Yeah, you know, it was a sad day when the Spicy's, now so there was only two Spicy's locations, so it was not a big franchise thing. But there was a Spicy's in North Bellport right there on Station Road. And they, I don't know, there was some sort of tax evasion thing, closed them down. But that Spicy's, you want to talk about it in high school. You get like a 50-piece bucket of Spicy's and like bring it into the locker room. Oh, my God.
You were the man.
Oh.
You were the man.
And then it was the only thing that I couldn't get Gina to buy into when I brought her to Long Island. Of all the things, she bought into everything else. Could not get behind Spicy's. And then I was like, I guess that'd be too good for Spicy's. And you could get the 10-piece and like the little thing, and they'd stick just a regular piece of bread underneath it. You know, just one slice of like white bread underneath it.
Right.
It would like soak up everything, and they had the special sauce that they used to sell in these mason jars. God knows what they put in that thing, but
God
it was wonderful.
Knows.
It was absolutely wonderful. I bet you Joe and Patrick had Spicy's at one point in his life. What's up, Joe?
I love Spicy's. I love the biscuit that contained all the grease.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to go to Riverhead now to get that biscuit.
Biscuit. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, the Spicy's in North Bellport's gone. The one in Riverhead's still open.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you got? So, as you know, tonight's the NBA draft.
That was last night.
Well, last night, yeah. Well,
tonight as well. Knicks have a pick. And, you know, it got me thinking, you know, I know it's the second round, and a lot of people say, oh, well, the pick doesn't really matter. But we're picking somebody without any structure and without a system. And to me, that's crazy. And it also got me thinking, free agency's coming up, and we don't obviously have a coach. So, Boomer, in your playing days, would you sign to a team that didn't have a head coach?
No way. No way. I would need to know what system they were running. But, you know, as a quarterback, maybe a little bit differently than this. I mean, because you're dealing with 11, you know, 10 of us or 11 of us on the field together. And you got to know the system. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go to Arizona that one year that I did. Because Jim Fossil was the offensive coordinator. And I knew he ran the West Coast offense. So, and I was, you know, that was my thing. So I wanted to go and try to be with him. And it worked out really good for me. But, yeah, that's, and you and I talked about this yesterday with the Knicks. Like, when free agency starts, like, are free agents just going to come for the money and count on Leon Rose's or trust in Leon Rose that he's going to pick the right coach to fit the right guys?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we opened with, and you can go back and listen on the free Odyssey app at 6 o'clock. And it's one thing to draft a guy with the 20th pick in the second round without a coach. Okay, fine. I mean, if that guy pans out, it'll be a borderline miracle. But to go into free agency without a coach is just, would be horrible.
Well,
they have to hire a guy after they make this pick tonight. You guys will need to know who the guy is on Friday. News dump spot.
Right. I would just say this, that for the Knicks right now, they know who their starting five is, essentially. They may want to change, you know, Josh Hart to go back onto the bench and maybe get another guy in that position. But they know what they have. I think they know their top seven players. Now, would they trade Mitchell Robinson? That's an asset that could be traded. Now, would they trade, a Bridges or an Ananobi? I don't think they will. But the point being is that any free agents that are coming here, these are not going to be big signings. The only big thing that they could do would be to trade because of the numbers, because of the money.
Yeah, but there's also, we've seen guys, you know, like the Hartenstein signing, where it was like, hey, this guy could be a nice little piece, and then he ends up being great for them, gets big money from the Thunder, and goes wins an NBA championship. You know, so there's guys like that out there that can really change your roster.
But who did Tibbs really want that guy?
I don't know.
I'm assuming he did. I'm assuming that they are collaborating with whoever the head coach is. And that's why, we're talking about the bottom half of the roster. And I don't.
But
you know,
that's
trying to attract Giannis to the Knicks.
No, that's probably not going to happen. You're right. The main guys are there. But one of the reasons that they fired Tibbs is because they didn't like the fact that he wasn't using these other guys off the bench. And then Tibbs will probably tell you, well, that's more of a roster construction problem because they weren't good enough. So those guys are critical. You know, you need to find some more depth players that are going to give you more minutes like you had with the Indiana Pacers.
You buy into the argument, that was an argument, but a report that the Knicks never really scrimmaged.
Well, yeah, because we had heard that prior, the year prior when guys were going down and everybody's all over Tibbs for running his guys into the ground. It was basically like, hey, we don't practice. You know, we don't really go hard in practice. So that saves us. Where other teams, you know, might have more load management days, but they're going really crazy in practice and in the game. So
how much practice do they really get a chance to have during the season?
Yeah, not a ton.
I mean, it's not like a football team has practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday leading up to a game. Like, you're out there on the practice field Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You're in the meeting rooms. You're checking out the videos. Your coaches are teaching you the game plan. I mean, to me, these games come so frequent, and there's very little time for actual practice time.
Yeah, and which is...
And if your players have just played 38 and 39 minutes,
right,
you got to run them out on the practice field?
No.
or the practice court, I mean?
No, absolutely not.
So I kind of understand where maybe Tibbs would pull back on some of that.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All righty, Boomer and Geo on this Thursday morning. Finally, some good baseball highlights. Jerry's got that and plenty more for us in this update. What's up, Jerry?
I does. We start at Citi Field with the Mets and the Braves. Could the Mets finally beat the Braves? So we know going in they had lost 10 of 11 overall, and they really had hit the skids. Well, last night, finally, the offense woke up. We know that Juan Soto hit a couple of home runs. Ronnie Mauricio had a nice night with a home run. And Brett Beatty with a drawn in infield came through as well in what turned out to be a 5-run fourth inning.
0-2. Beatty grounds one right side base hit between first and second. Beatty once again gets the job done. Singles to right. Brings in McNeil. 4-1 Mets in the bottom of the fourth.
And that was Keith Ratt on Mets Odyssey Radio on their way to a 7-3 win. We mentioned the two home runs for Soto gives them 19 on the season, along with Beatty. Brandon Nimmo had an RBI single in that inning as well. Here was Carlos Mendoza up and down the order. Lots of good ABs, as they say.
It's a sign that we want to start turning the page here and, you know, turning the tie, if you want to call it. I thought yesterday, even though it was just a couple of innings throughout the whole game, I saw a lot better at-bats in approach, especially from the bottom of the lineup, as I mentioned after the game last night. And then we saw it again today.
You did, and here was Juan Soto really hoping things are starting to turn.
It's great. It's a good start right now. We just got to keep doing it all the way up to the end.
Now, you heard just a clip prior, Mendoza talking about the bottom of the order really chipping in and doing things. I'd like to present to you the afternoon show's idea, one by Tommy Lugauer, who his thought to get the Met lineup going, how he would assemble it, and his take was that you've got four thumpers in this lineup, basically.
Four thumpers.
And everybody else stinks. So here is how he would construct the lineup going forward.
Pete Alonso first, mm-hmm. Soto fourth, Lindor seventh, Nimmo ninth. That way, no matter where you're at in the lineup, you have a hitter there.
What do you think?
It's not been done before.
I think they could ask Alonso that today.
I mean, it's more like Lindor. You know, your most important player hitting him seventh, that would be the guy. I think Alonso would be like, oh, great to be leading off.
Well, you more at-bats.
Right, because he's just so happy with everything.
Yeah, but Lindor might only get up three times a game.
And that's the flaw in what I'd actually understand what he's saying, but the flaw is you're losing at-bats from these guys.
He's expecting that the other guys in between those guys actually to get hits and get on base, or he's assuming that at least every inning you're going to have one of those guys getting up. And it's not going to be the bottom third of your lineup that's going to get stuck at the end of these games.
Right. What he is saying is when you get past these four, it's like 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and you got to wait for them to come up again.
Now, how about a trade deadline acquisition? That's really what it's going to come down to. And when does Jesse Winker come back?
I don't know, but Mark Vientos, I believe, will be back today.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good. So I guess some fans are saying that he stinks, too.
Well, he has. He was bad. And listen, he was bad so far this year, but he would look like a superstar in the postseason last year. All right, so Jesse Winker to begin rehab assignment by end of weekend.
Yeah, they're going to get some more guys back and some more of their veterans back. You know, he's a little bit of a fire plug, right?
Fire plug is indeed right.
Or you want to say spark plug?
Either one.
Okay.
Clay Holmes threw five innings for the win. Holmes postgame talking about the offense and specifically Juan Soto, the two home runs, the big June. Things really starting to click.
Yeah, sure. Some hits weren't falling early, but to me, the bat quality felt the exact same. He's hitting balls hard. He wasn't. He just felt like Juan Soto up there. And then we have a player his caliber that, you know, gets pitched tough like he does, and he competes, and it's the same about every time. It's just truly, I mean, it's incredible.
Mets now 40.
There was a jerk reporter they could have said, did he not feel like Juan Soto early on in the season? Because he goes, it feels like Juan Soto up there. So you're saying that early on it didn't feel like Juan Soto was up there? No, it's not what I was saying, actually. I just
felt like Jason Bay early on.
Yeah.
Hmm. 47-34. Mets back to 13 games over. We'll look to split the series tonight with Griffin Canning on the mound out at Citi Field. I mentioned they could ask Pete Alonso. That's because Alonso will join Evan, Tiki, Sean, and Tommy at 3:15 from the Cadillac Club at Citi Field this afternoon. Great. As they do their show live from there. As for the Yankees, they got out of Cincinnati with a victory.
Jazz struck out swinging. 2-2 pitch first time, and he hits a high fly ball deep right field. This got a chance. It is going, going. Goodbye. Oh, baby, that's 20 rows up. Home run, Jazz Chisholm, a two-run shot. And the Yankees have a 3-0 lead.
And that was Dave Sims.
Chisholm.
With the call that
was
Jerry,
that was launch angle.
Launch angle. Uppercut swing. It worked in that case. Here was Chisholm talking about the ejection Tuesday night, and I think you referenced Trevino.
Yes.
Before, yeah. Here was Chisholm wrapping the whole thing up.
After what happened last night, it felt great to get hold of one, you know.
And you told Trevino that was for last night?
Yeah, I did tell him it was for last night. He's the one who kind of provoked the umpire and stuff, so for that all to happen. So I just told him that was for last night.
There you go. So take that and stick it. Here was Jason Dominguez. He had four hits on the night, 4-for-5. He says, good night, sure, but I can improve.
I would say, like, you know, the games, the reps, like, the more games that you play, more happy to be your, help you to build your confidence. I think that helped me a lot.
All right, so the offense did their job last night. How about Max Fried, who always seems to do his, aside from a rare bad start from time to time? Seven innings, he allows an unearned run because of a Chisholm bad throw. Here was Trent Grisham. Boy, I tell you, Grisham and Chisholm, these all sound alike. Grisham with Susan talking about Fried.
He's our stopper. He's our ace. So having him, watching him work every 5 days, especially getting to do it from center field, is a lot of fun.
And now we are approximately 3 weeks away from the All-Star game.
So he's got to be the number one starter.
Right. So he was asked if he is thinking or hoping to be the All-Star starter for the American League.
I've got a handful of starts to go before the All-Star break. I'm not right now at this time. I'm not really looking forward to, you know, that far ahead. You know, a lot can happen between now and then.
A lot can happen.
You know, maybe he's the next Andy Pettit.
Well, take HGH.
What? No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
What?
Like, Andy Pettit was the man. Put him in the playoffs. Throw them out there, boom, you got yourself a win.
Well, we have,
seems like that's what's happening with Max Fried right now.
He's been an ace. So far, so good. Yeah. That is true. Yankees open up weekend series against the A's starting tomorrow night. Fried's ERA, by the way, down to 1.92. Also, you had Jacob DeGrom take a no-hitter into the eighth. The Rangers did shut out the Orioles 7-0. As expected, Cooper Flagg, the first overall pick in the NBA draft. Nico Harrison did meet the media after last night. He was asked if the pick of Flagg has taken some of the pressure off him, because we know he's gotten beaten up and the fans hate him in Dallas with the trade of Luka to L.A.
Are you hopeful, optimistic, that by drafting Cooper, some of the anger that had been directed at you personally will subside now?
I I'm hoping so. You know, I'm assuming so a little bit, maybe.
I doubtful, but once they start winning games, that will all go away, as we know. Dylan Harper.
Surprised he answered that honestly. I thought he was going to say, listen, I'm not, you know, paying attention to the noise out there. I'm just trying to build the best team I can. Excited to have Cooper here. It's not about me tonight. It's about him. Yeah, I thought he'd give you one of those. He was like, I'm actually hoping people stop hating me now. Yes. That'd be great.
That is very true. We had the two kids from Rutgers. Dylan Harper go 2 to the Spurs. Bailey 5 to the Jazz.
Feel proud?
What's that?
Do you feel proud that you are connected to Rutgers and these kids get picked this high?
I mean, I've got some cool calls with them involved, of course, but proud? No, I think Steve Peichel should be proud, but
I thought you're part of the Rutgers family.
Yeah, but I didn't recruit them or spend time with them like coaching
staff
did. No, but you've
been singing their praises ever since they signed with Rutgers, and you've seen all their games.
That is very. Dylan sat in this chair last summer. That is very true.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Do you feel like you're proud of them?
I'm proud of them. Yeah, sure.
Hey, Jerry, do you ever drink with those players, like BT Frank with the St. John's players after the first win of the tournament?
Did not drink with the players.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He said it was other people. I keep
but
getting
sure.
that confused.
Drinks after games of the Big Ten tournament? Yes, sir.
Okay.
Here was Dylan Harper. He got a call from Victor Wembanyama.
Yo, what was good?
Hey, I'll play for the Spurs too. My name's Vic.
Yes, sir. I know who you is.
That's fine. My name's Vic.
I know who you is.
So that is kind of cool. Bailey was asked about all the people saying that he didn't want to go to Utah.
I mean, I control what I control, so how they feel. But to my team and me, me focusing on the basketball and them doing what they're doing, so it happens.
I don't know what any of that
meant.
I think
he meant the misinformation. Well, people are going to write what they want to write.
Yeah, but he didn't visit with anybody, and I guess one of his representatives was the one that was saying NBA insider on ESPN that Utah was one of the places he didn't want to go.
Maybe.
He wanted to go to New Orleans, Washington. Why would you want to go to Washington? Ugh.
I don't know. And then there's Colin Murray Boyles. So he was the kid that got drafted by the Raptors. And
hey, listen, hyphen guys are in right now. Hey, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So maybe a hyphen guy. This is going to be the next great hyphen guy.
Encarnacion Strand.
Yeah, guys are in. So
there's the video of him when he gets picked by Toronto. He shakes his head, kind of smirks, and says F. And so people took that as if he didn't want to go to Toronto. It doesn't sound like that if you listen to him.
What I said was not a bad thing by any means. Just very thankful for it. That was like a surreal moment, like to hear my name called and by this organization that has a good history and have really good players as of right now. It was just a crazy moment.
I would say so, and also kind of funny. Also funny.
I don't know what to believe. What do you believe? Do you believe he was going like, wow, this is crazy?
Yeah, I do. Like,
you do?
I actually believe watching it, his take was like, I'm a first-round NBA draft pick. Top 10.
Okay, I hope so.
That's how it looked to me, but it sounds funnier the other way. And then you had the Blazers took 7-1 center, Chinese center, Yang Hansen, or Hansen Yang. Different people are saying it goes in reverse, but whatever. So he was sitting in the stands.
Okay.
He was not projected to be a first-round pick. Matter of fact, some boards didn't have them in the first two rounds at all.
He was just there as a fan.
Thought he might. He's just sitting in the crowd when they draft him. So here was Matt Norlander of CBS Sports. It was discussing this whole pick, and it was a surprise pick to many.
I've got a few connections, and I can guarantee you that people around the league are shaking their heads and texting each other right now and going, what on earth is Portland doing?
So good morning, son. That is the reaction to you being picked in the first round by Portland. Also, your guy Derek Queen was picked 13th by Atlanta. So that's kind of neat. Didn't they trade up to get him, make a trade to get him? Something like that.
I was just hoping he was going to go top 10, and then he fell a little bit, but is a really good young player.
No question.
It's going to take him a couple years to get used to the NBA and the physicality of the game.
Very, very cool. The Knicks planning to interview Pelicans associate coach James Borrego for their open head coaching job. And you're asking me why I said earlier, you know, who knows with Jason Kidd.
Yes.
There's another article today that says Jason Kidd wants to be prefers or is really intrigued by the Knicks. I mean, so the stories keep coming out.
Yeah.
And until they give him an extension,
he also could be using that as 100% to try to get an extension.
Because he certainly looked quite chummy in the suite last night with Nico as the whole
draft. That's what I'm saying. It seems like they're buddies.
And finally, Morehead State, you guys can maybe talk about this at some point this morning, announcing that they are renaming their football stadium after their very famous alum, Mr. Phil Sims.
We know
Oh,
that.
My gosh.
How oh, my gosh.
Wild blueberries.
I mentioned that this morning earlier.
You did that already?
Yeah, and he probably gave him a lot of money.
You think?
Yeah, or they could be in his will.
So you think they're naming it after him because he's donated so much money?
I told you, Al. Yeah. A lot of these things are money-related.
Just honoring his greatness.
He's kind. He gives money. He gives up his time. I mean,
he's one of the Phil Sims.
Right. As the most famous, obviously, Morehead State football player, 2-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP.
The only thing I think of when I hear Morehead State is Phil Sims.
Of course.
There's nothing else I think about.
Do you think that he'll be known more for his great football prowess or his philanthropy when he passes?
You know, that's a really good question. I would say in this area, he'll be known as a Super Bowl winning quarterback and MVP. Mm. And then he'll be known as one of the great all-time
philanthropic
athletes in the area.
Yeah.
And does it quietly. Unlike some people we know that need credit for everything. You wouldn't know what Phil is.
I'll use...
There's my name up on the board.
Yeah. Let me do right now so it sits there for the rest of the night.
He actually went to Emma, who works for me, and the Booming Celebration. He went to Emma and said, look, when I make my donation, please leave it up there for like 10 seconds, not 3 seconds.
Well, he got 10 seconds of it, that's for sure.
All right, Jerry, good stuff. We'll see you next hour.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Ken and Crow still out there touring and doing stuff, correct?
Actually, I'm going to go see them Saturday evening.
Oh, right. Where are you going to see them?
At PNC Art Center.
PNC, there you
They're
go.
They're playing Jones Beach as well.
All right, nice. And I remember you putting out there that their new album is actually very good, and you hope that they play songs from their new album.
Yeah, and I was looking at their set list. They do. They have some new songs, some of their old songs.
So it's like sprinkled in, or?
Yeah, it looks like a nice set list of new and old stuff. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Adam Duritz, does he still have dreadlocks?
He does not.
Does not have dreadlocks.
He just looks like a regular middle-aged dad.
I know what that is. Yeah, and then Mr. Jones was a big one. That was the first time I ever saw him, and that whole deal was Mr. Jones. And then what's that slow song?
Long December.
Yeah, that's right, Long December. That's another big one. Is it good enough? Would you recommend that I listen to their new album? Do you think I would like it?
I think you would like it.
Okay.
There are catchy songs in there. It's not the slow.
Yeah, I don't like the slow songs. Yeah,
Sleepy Douchey?
Stuff. Yeah, not Sleepy Douchey.
Okay.
Good stuff.
I never put them in the Sleepy Douchey category, though, the Gin Blossoms. Like, Sleepy Douchey to me was always... Was Gin Blossoms and who's that guy that sang Iris? Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah, they were big Sleepy Douchey. Those two were on the top of the list for Sleepy Douchey.
Okay.
Yeah, but Counting Crows never felt that way. I felt like they had something going on there. Blues Traveler, never Sleepy Douchey. I kind of put Counting Crows and Blues Traveler in the same deal in my mind back there in the 90s. That was a big MTV era for me, man. Like Mr. Jones, when that hit, I would just sit and watch those music videos. Carson Daly and TRL and that whole deal.
Well, you're sitting next to one of the first guest VJs.
Yeah, which is so cool. Yeah, that was like before I started watching it.
Yeah.
But like the height of really when it was big, that had to have been a cool deal.
It was.
And now
they had a lot of game shows on there too. That was a part of those things.
Yeah.
Right? Like in the 88 through 91, those years.
It's just amazing to think about where we were back then and where we are now. I remember, because I was a big grunge fan and loved Pearl Jam and Nirvana, and I used to watch the music video shows. Like, there was a rock music video show. Like, I don't even remember the name. It was definitely not TRL. But I would watch it hoping there would be a new Pearl Jam video that got debuted because they hadn't put out a video in so long. Now, this was like before I'd be on the internet. I would just turn that show on at a particular time, not knowing if they'd ever recorded a video, filmed anything,
how old were you?
Did anything. So you're figuring like 1992, 93, I would say 12 or 13, somewhere in there.
Right. Yeah, Al Gore hadn't invented the internet just yet.
Well,
I want to say that was like 93, 94.
So, and I wasn't I wasn't sitting there dialing up AOL at that point, I don't think. Maybe shortly after.
But I would just sit there and put that on and be like, I'm just, I hope they debut a new video today. And like, today's day and age, like, you would know exactly, you know, you would know what it is on the craft services table of if they were filming a new video, when it was going to be out, where it was, who directed it, everything else. I do think that, like, I kind of miss, like, things don't feel as important or special when you know everything about everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, when you're constantly looking at your phone.
But, yeah, I mean, like, me waiting for that, I wonder if it's going to happen. Just, like, the excitement of little things like that go away when you're, you know everything about everything.
Yeah, I even wonder that with, like, I'll look at set lists now.
Yeah.
And am I ruining part of the concert experience knowing what songs are coming in what order?
I think so. I actually think so.
When I went to the Eagles, I felt like I wanted to know the song. So I saw the set list and I liked it. I was waiting for a certain song, but every one of their songs you know. So, like, you're never disappointed, like, when they're playing.
I will say.
It was tremendous.
Knowing the set list, good for trying to figure out when you're going to go pee. That's what it's really good for. But you do kind of lose that, like, oh, they're doing this. I didn't think they'd do this now. And then it was, you know, Dog with the Bruce Springsteen set list. I mean, he really thought that those were like, I mean, that was his Bible. You know, whatever Bruce did, he was speaking to him.
Really?
Through those set lists. Oh,
America sucks!
That's Bruce today, maybe not back then.
He must not like it. Like, the last few tours, Bruce's set list has been very tight. Very few changes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I was
like,
doing the same one again. Yeah. That terrible, bad job. Martino is in Islip. Good morning, Martino.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Great, Martino. What's up?
Big fan of the show, fellas. Boomer Geo, the whole gang. I'm calling up. Specifically, I'm the new athletic director over at Bellport.
Oh, all right. Congratulations, Martino. John Frankie had that job for many years. I know he retired recently, so you got the job. Congratulations. Yeah.
Bob Mack and Kevin O'Reilly was here, Pat Hayes, but very fortunate. I saw your picture up at the legendary Coach Ship's Wall of Fame, so congrats on that. It's big news.
Did they have him up in do they have a picture of him in the theater wing?
No, they do not. No, I am.
Not yet. There's still time, though. There's still time.
Okay.
I just wanted to, you know, formally invite you both and the whole crew.
Yeah, I'm not coming.
We have Breece Hall coming to Bellport High School Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Through Select Sports Management. So I figure it'd be cool, you know, the boys seeing some, not only former Jet player, Boomer, but also Bellport alumni coming back, Bellport football alumni. Put it out there. I get it's last minute. If you can't, don't worry.
Well, you know what? Martino, I appreciate that. And I actually remembered once you said that I did get an invite from somebody else around the program. And I'm having our fourth birthday party for our youngest daughter, Summer, that day on the 29th on Sunday. So
happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
And I'll send you pictures to let you know I'm not lying about it. So,
you know what?
No worries.
Martino, congratulations on the new job. And I hope Sunday goes great.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm not going to see you.
Well, listen, the olive branch is out there. You're always welcome. And thank you, fellas. God bless you.
All right, Martino, thanks for calling.
Doesn't he know how we at East Islip feel about Bellport?
Yeah, you know, they're really excited about Breece Hall going out there.
Oh, they
really,
should be.
Really
that's
excited.
Great. That is awesome.
I think that's very cool.
That is terrific.
You don't get a lot of that all the way out in Bellport. You know, a Jet player coming from Florham Park all the way out to Bellport.
Well, back in the day, because we were practicing in Hofstra, we did a lot of that stuff. But that's great that Breece is doing that. I think it's wonderful. But, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a helicopter spot for him.
It could be. I'm actually taking Al's tech. I'm just saying no to everything.
Yeah, well, I'm getting close because after the Willie Colon thing. I mean, I love Willie, and I'm glad I was there. I helped him out. But after that miscommunication and the loose ends of where it started.
Yeah, not good.
Go poop in a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got to stop doing it. It's the first thing I said to Gina when I got in the car, and I called her. I said, I got to stop just saying yes to things. It's enough. I mean, I can't. I mean, I've been
down. Al has it so, like, down simply, you know? And I love how he just delivers it. And he delivers it and has delivered it so well for the last 5 years, especially.
Yeah.
after COVID, it's been no. That they've actually taken his voice, I think, and put it in a commercial.
Yeah, it's after COVID and getting the dog at the same time. Like, I am not going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. I do think somewhere, I mean, Al's on the extreme level. You know, we could be somewhere maybe.
Well, we are somewhere.
North of that.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it's just a very simple thing.
Mm. Yeah, I know. But it is tough. I feel bad. People asking things. I'll be there. I'll do that for you. No problem.
And try to reciprocate where you can.
I'm going to, you know what I'm going to start doing, though, is doing your, like, no loose ends thing of, like, are you sure about this? Because that whole we're not teeing off until 1 o'clock thing was like somebody punched me right in my balls.
Yeah.
1 o'clock. I left the house at 4 o'clock. They get home to 8:45 at night.
You know, you got to be buttoned up with things. I tell you, we're teeing off at 10:15. We're teeing off at 10:15. You're not sitting around for 2 hours. And then sitting around for 5 more hours. And then sitting around for 2 hours more after it.
Yes. Yeah. That was a long, long day.